Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has 2 kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 22.
Wow, halfway to 44.
Halfway home, baby, because 44 we're canceling.
That's when we're really walking away.
That's almost too long.
Derek Coleman and Rob Conrad special number. So
yeah,
I'm out there.
So we got to get out. My name is Turner Sparks.
I am Kaplan. I'm a very fired up Kaplan.
Fired up? Why? You got coffee?
No, I was just getting coffee near our studios here, and I walked by something that's like really most exciting thing that happened in New York City, I think, since I moved here.
Trump protests?
No, way bigger. Guy standing outside, although it's kind of tied together with the Trump voter, I think. Guy standing outside offering free samples of the finest roast beef you've ever had. Arby's.
Ooh, really?
There's an Arby's that just opened up here in New York City.
What? So Arby's is like guerrilla marketing?
Arby's has just opened brand new, I think today or yesterday. There's like a big sign and I'm excited because my first job at like 16 years old was working at Arby's. I was a fry guy there.
Yeah.
And I've always held dear because when I left the job, I was like the best employee they ever had. And they really tried to get me to stay.
What'd they do?
They told me that health benefits are my future. They were going to raise me up to $4.75 an hour.
Oh, my God. Did you work there in the 60s?
Minimum wage was $4.25. So I was being paid extra because I was such a good fry guy to begin with.
But nice.
So I've always followed Arby's movements. I'm glad to see they found me. I'm glad to know that if my job doesn't work out, if I lose my job because of this podcast,
yes,
I have a fallback.
Arby's.
I get a day job right near where we record.
Okay, well, they don't come in. They're just handing out, like, anyone's going to try an Arby's roast beef and be like, ooh, this
is
amazing.
Literally across the street from the original Shake Shack.
What is this restaurant?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Oh, fine, dining.
Arby's gets a bad rap, you know.
Well, I'm anti-Arby's because you know me. I'm all about Carl's Jr.
Oh, you're a Hardee's guy.
I'm a Carl's Jr. guy. That's our archenemy.
Right.
So
that's your archenemy.
But
I didn't know they played in the same conference. I didn't know they were.
Well, no, but they meet in the finals every year of the fast food.
Arby's made the finals. That's
championships.
Okay.
And but Carl's Jr. is not here yet, right?
Right. Well, you know, you don't like Arby's, I guess, because they don't find a way to put bacon on everything.
It's true. If they can do that, Carl's Jr. can do that. And they put guac on everything at Carl's Jr.
It's
very good. California, like Gentile, is guac and bacon.
Guac and bacon.
You know what I'm saying? You're
Gentile into your material now.
Yeah.
Effect on you.
All right. So you can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at MIKaplan11. What's the 11 for, Cap?
11 is for
I always wanted to know, what is the 11 for?
It's for the greatest center of my youth. From the Philadelphia 76ers, Mr. Manute Bol.
Ooh!
He was the original stretch five.
He
shoot the three ball. I remember he made 6-1 game.
He was 7 foot. He was like when you, if you were tall enough, you didn't have to know how to walk to play in the NBA. Right? If they're just like, he's so tall.
Well, he didn't have to jump or catch or...
He walked like a baby giraffe.
It's amazing about him is that he never, and other guys who are tall, although Sean Bradley had a...
He was 7 foot seven.
He was 7 foot seven. He never developed like a post-up move. Like, because no one could block it. If he just caught the ball and knew how to turn and hit like a jump hook or...
Yeah, but he was 7 foot seven, like 165 pounds.
Right. They pushed him around a lot.
You can
see,
push
if you play
around
in today's game with a little spacing.
So, all right. Should we... Well, first of all, we got Matt Davis, comedian, hilarious comedian, Matt Davis on the podcast today. He just got back from touring in Pakistan.
He did the world tour, right?
He did... Well, previous to that, he did a year on the road, a year around the world on the road, not touring America or North America, just every country in the world. So what I want to talk to him about, because I just got back. I haven't toured much in the U.S. Before that, he spent like maybe 15 years on tour in the United States and Canada. Oh. I want to talk to him about the difference between touring the United States versus all these wild countries.
All right.
So before we do that...
Sounds like a plan.
Lost in America.
Let's get to it.
Let's play the music.
Play the freaking music.
All right, we're back. Oh, my God. Just the tunes are so fantastic.
Yeah.
I haven't been saying it enough recently.
No,
you know?
I feel like our artists are not feeling enough love.
But I do love the music.
We used to talk about them.
Dr. Dog.
The Doc.
We got to get them in studio.
Yeah.
All
right. Sure.
So, okay. Recording. Here's what I want to talk about today. The gyms in America, I have a problem.
Right. I've been trying to join a spin cycle.
No,
cycle
forget spinning. Although, I don't know if we said this last week. The spin guy that we wanted to get, the guy was like, "Oh, the fucking hell!"
Yeah.
He agreed. He's gonna do our new intro.
Oh.
So bad news, Joe Schaefer.
Yeah, you're gonna kill the guy's esteem there. That we've fired him from this prestigious job.
You're out.
Was there an announcer before? Like,
Ann Weber has said that we have a terrible intro. He wants to rewrite it. So we're getting a Hollywood screenwriter to rewrite our intro, and we're getting the best in the business.
Can we pay his Writers Guild minimum for that?
No, we're not paying anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff in the future. Season 3.
Look forward to it. So anyway, gyms. I have an issue with gyms in America. Here's my number one problem with my gym. It's too freaking cheap.
I thought the problem you had in your gym was that you keep seeing Paul Giamatti naked there.
Well, that's one issue. I don't want that.
You
want
to see some better
looking. You should pay
naked.
Me to see Paul Giamatti naked in
right.
the gym.
Well, if you pay it for a more expensive gym,
I know.
That's what you get with it.
Yeah, I guess so.
What gym do you belong to? I don't know if you want to tell the listeners.
No, I'll tell
them.
Planet Fitness over there in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn.
Well, that's your first problem, Planet Fitness.
It's $10 a month.
Right.
And my issue with that is it's too cheap. It's literally going to the gym in China was more expensive than here.
Well, do you know
dollar for dollar?
Do you know the backstory of Planet Fitness since this is a new gym since you left for a
month? No, I don't know anything.
Planet Fitness was started to be like the anti-gym gym. Like, it's supposed to be a gym for regular people. So, like,
yes.
They don't want you, I know they don't want you to, like,
go.
Like, lift, they don't want you to go.
They don't.
They don't want you to look like you go to the gym. So, like, they don't want you to be too, like, you know when people lift heavy weights and they make noises? They don't want you to grunt. They don't want you to drop your weights if you're lifting.
No, I'm fine with all that. But they're actually geniuses because what they say is, like, judgment-free zone.
Right.
Hey, people who have, or like me, skinny, like, out of shape, if you have no interest in exercising, join our gym. And the whole plan is that you can get 10,000 people to join a gym that only fits 50 if none of them are going
to
come.
Who wants to go to a judgment-free zone? I mean, the whole point of the gym is to judge.
That's true. Well, that's why. No, it's clear. It's not like, working for me. I pay $10 a month, and I'm like, hey, that's cheap. But it's not cheap if I don't go ever because I'm like, hey, judgment free. They're not going to get mad at me if I don't go.
It's better to pay more because I guarantee that if you were working out with good looking people, you're working out harder.
That's true.
If you're working out with fat people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Planet Fitness. Did you have a gym in China?
I had a gym in China. It had, it opened at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And it closed at like maybe 9 p.m. And so, therefore, you can never go, like, that whole before work culture,
right,
go to the gym.
I never got that, but some people are.
Doesn't exist. Well, you'd like in China. It doesn't exist. Any major holidays, they would take off for, like, 2 weeks. So then that's the best time you can go.
Right.
Is when you have, like,
a
week off.
If you have a job that gets out, you have to go, like, immediately.
Yeah, and you can't go. But the guy, there was only, like, 4 people who would ever be in there. It was really small. And so then you'd almost get, like, personal training just because you were one of the people there and the guy was bored. And, it worked. It was expensive, though. I think I paid... let's see, 23,000. I paid $300 a year.
Wow. So you're saying you paid more there than you pay at Planet Fitness?
Triple.
Triple.
I paid, this is a New York City gym.
New York City versus Suzhou, China. Yeah. Wow. But guess what? Better results in Suzhou, China.
Yeah, you were like, the legend of Turner Sparks.
I was in shape. I was shooting jumpers. My 15-footer was...
Is there a basketball hoop there? Or you just
my 15-foot jump shot was wet, as they say.
But first start... That's another Lost in America thing, but no one shoots a 15-foot jumper anymore.
That's true. It's
layup or three-pointer. That's how you play Morey ball.
Exactly. But anyway.
Yeah, when I lived in Los Angeles, it was the gym culture there is there's so many gyms. It's like gyms and car washes. So
yeah.
You get really cheap gyms there, but they're good.
Yeah.
Like even the cheapest gym there, you're going to see some good-looking people. But in New York.
Those are. I feel like what you're describing is like every hoop has like a chain net.
Right.
Everyone has a Raiders jersey on.
Well, that's in, that's different areas.
Different part of LA?
Part of LA. I don't know. Chain, have you ever seen the chain net tennis court?
Does that exist?
That exists at Thornton Park in Syracuse. I played one.
That's
there.
Ridiculous.
It's fascinating to me because you hit the ball hard into the net, it comes like right out. Yeah, it really teaches you to get ground strokes to get a nice form so you get it over the net.
Is this
now hit her like a racquetball?
Was this like their marketing scheme to get the inner city into tennis?
Well, when I went to Syracuse, I went for a summer program in high school, and we had like this orientation. And the first day, the guy gave us a speech, and he starts talking about the campus, and he's like, and whatever you guys do, don't go to Thornton Park. It's a beautiful park, but don't go there. So shout out to my buddy John Lemelman. He was my roommate. We went right up there first day.
Nice.
We had to see what was going on.
And did you just see the Bloods versus the Crips playing tennis?
I mean, it's Syracuse version of that. No one's playing tennis, but we played there. And, the balls come right at you. It is a good place to score some drugs if you're looking for it in Syracuse.
Shout out.
Tip for the youngsters out there.
Tip for the youngsters.
But,
all right. So that's that.
Back on track.
What I want to do before we get to our guest, we got to give a shout out. Speaking of shout outs, we found out our top cities. Numbers are just coming in.
The numbers are coming in. We have a team.
We've had a great 6 months so far. We have numbers for our top cities in the world for downloads of our podcast.
Can I guess them?
Yes, you can guess. What do you think is the
number
one city?
Number one's got to be Sactown. And number two, I'm going to say New York. And number three, I'm going to say Allentown because I'm a fam.
And then go four and five.
And I'm four and five. I'm going to go with Israel, like Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
I know the word is spread that there's a Jew lighting up, telling people in China how it is.
Yep.
And five.
Are you going to pick anywhere in China?
I'm going to pick Suzhou, China.
Suzhou, China.
Suzhou, China.
Good job pronouncing it. Okay. So number one city, New York, New York.
Oh, I nailed it.
You said Sactown.
Oh, boom.
City so nice, I named it twice. Number two city in the world, Singapore. Also, city so nice, they named it twice.
Teddy's a big fan of Singapore.
Our number two city in the world.
How's that possible?
Well, I toured there once like 2 years ago. But I don't know if I killed, let's be honest. But I don't know if it was that hard.
Do you think
hard.
It's possible? Did you ever see the movie Sugar Man?
Yes.
So do you think you're like the Rodriguez of
maybe.
Singapore?
I don't even
no
know
idea.
It.
Here's this huge comic there.
Yeah. Well, okay. So then the other option is that the VPNs, this is getting into technicality, but China VPNs maybe connect to Singapore.
Oh,
so
okay.
It could be Chinese people.
Okay.
Number three, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. I didn't know Brooklyn had their own VPN.
They got. You don't need a VPN.
I mean, they're not New York, New York. It's Brooklyn, New York.
They're their own neighborhood.
Okay.
Number four is Los Angeles, California. So these are all kind of standard.
All right.
Guess what number five is?
A lot of TV execs are listening.
Number five city in the world.
I already guessed my five.
The home of Mordecai, Miguel, Michael, Ira Kaplan, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
coming in at number five. Number six, Mexico City, Mexico.
Wow.
No idea. Thank you very much, Mexico.
Wait, Mexico City?
Gracias.
Yeah, gracias.
Our friends south of the wall.
How is that possible?
Friends down there south of the wall. I have no idea how that's possible, but they love us in...
They're probably trying to get in with our alt-right takes, and they're trying to prove their fans, and maybe it'll help them.
I don't know if that sentence made sense, but sure, I'm in.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm a little flabbergasted.
Okay, now I'm going to pick out some other interesting towns. Number seven, San Francisco. Mm. Arlington, Virginia is number 10. That's the home of Tyler Sparks.
Oh, yes.
You got Sacramento's number 11.
Maybe
come on, Sacktown.
We might have some people being buried with it in the cemetery.
Here's the problem. Sacramento's number...
Number 10?
Number 11, which is a problem for me, but...
Just like in NBA, they just underachieve.
No, but here's the issue. They split the vote. It's like one of those when, like, Ken Dorsey, Willis McGahee...
Back to Ken Dorsey.
Yet they all, they're all splitting teammates. The Heisman vote. Because you have El Dorado Hills is number 13.
Right. That's why Durant and Curry, neither one can win MVP.
Other interesting towns. Number 21, Tel Aviv, Israel.
Oh, there you go.
So we're killing it. Number 22 is Hong Kong. Number 23 is London.
Well, how many does this go to?
This goes way down. Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, is number 29.
There it is.
On the list.
Shout out, Ho Chi Minh.
Winnipeg, Canada, number 37. Do you know anyone in Winnipeg?
I don't know anyone outside of New York, and I know like three people.
Well, if you're in Winnipeg and you're listening, let us know. If you're in any of these cities and you're listening, let us know. We have number 45, Frankfurt, Germany. Number 46, Karlovy, Ukraine.
Oh, boy.
Somewhere in the Ukraine. Number 49, Carlsbad, New Mexico. That's the home of Uncle Keith, the Sparks Keith. Family roots. And number 50 is Vancouver, Canada. So thank you very much,
number 50.
Everyone. All right,
if you know someone in Vancouver, get them to listen to the show. We need to get that city.
Well, if you're the one listening, tell your friends in any of these. Let us know. Write in. Turner@kungfucomedy.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Lost in America Pod. Let her in. All right. Should we get to Ents?
Very quickly,
because we got to get to our. This has been long. We got to get to our guests. But Ents is a fantastic app. They're updating it every day. We had Ikraman last week explaining everybody. Get it now. What are you waiting for?
And I hope you guys checked out. We did a little Ents overtime.
We did Ents overtime.
Running feature.
Yep. Once a week now, we're doing an extra news story on Ents. We'll have our guest Matt Davis on this one this week, so you can listen to it. All right. Get it in the App Store. ENSE. Record conversations. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Let's get to our guests.
Get to Ents.
Get to Ents. Get to our guests. Get it all. All right, everybody, welcome back. We got our guest here, Matt Davis.
Do that again, because you just slurred that. You were like, all right, everybody.
Who cares? You go with it.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, he's been drinking. It's
He sounded like the guy in the drunk tank on the Andy Griffith Show.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
Welcome back. Matt Davis is here.
Yeah. He comes in critiquing you.
I know.
I'm just here to help.
This is what happens when you've been hanging out with a guy for like a day and a half.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to the point where it's like, all right, shut up.
We're past all of the just the polite good to see yous.
Right.
And now we're both into like, why do you do that?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Why do you behave that way?
You got back yesterday from Pakistan.
Very
Obama view.
As we say.
That's like you went with the correct pronunciation there.
Exactly, yeah.
It's Pakistan to me.
Well, no, we were just talking about on the way here how he was doing a show in Canada and he got
and
corrected.
And he corrected me on a pronunciation and like...
It's one thing...
Of Canada?
No. But it's one thing when... What we were talking about is like when... It's one thing when... If someone says something incorrectly, right? Like they say Shanghai instead of Shanghai, right? Shanghai is the way to pronounce the name of the city, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But if someone says Shanghai, like Turner nor I would correct them.
You're never going to correct them. You're never going to excuse me.
Yeah,
it's Shanghai.
Right? What you mean?
Yeah.
Like fine. I know what you mean. It's it's a very common pronunciation,
right.
Even though it's not the correct pronunciation. But when someone says Shanghai, the correct pronunciation for someone. To correct them incorrectly.
Oh, so you said Shanghai.
He said it on stage.
On stage.
In a comedy show.
Goes, you mean Shanghai. It's pronounced Shanghai. And I'm like, no, it's not, actually. But I appreciate you, white lady from Canada, for taking a moment out of your day to make an ass out of yourself.
Right.
Because that's not how it's fucking pronounced. But
yeah, trying to think of what you would have to say that would make me, as an audience member, want to correct you.
I know. Like, you'd have to say something so inherently wrong.
I'm from, I think,
for starters. If I said Shanghai,
right,
it would be ridiculous for someone to interrupt and correct my pronunciation.
Yeah.
Right.
In a comedy show. Right. Or in any sitting.
That would still be...
Those Canadians, I tell you.
Ridiculous.
What do we have to do?
I'm going to tell your Canadian listener that my son calls their country Canica.
Oh, our friends in Winnipeg.
Every time they say Canada, he says Canica.
Canada.
Well, he also calls Taiwan Taitu.
Yeah, well.
Because he thinks it's Taiwan.
Like one. He's four.
Yeah, and he's a big China fan. He's pro-China. On the whole issue.
Oh.
He's a one China policy guy. Kind of 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Right.
So Matt and I, Cap, we met a few years ago. We were just trying to figure out where we met. I think we met at Flapper's Comedy Club in Los Angeles.
We met outside of the... We went to dinner.
with Jimmy Schubert.
Or lunch with Shuby, but outside of the building there on Coldwater.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I think that.
Either way, we met in the
somewhere within
the San Fernando Valley. Life, and then we booked you. You came out and did our China tour.
Yeah.
And that's
where
we hung out.
And our shows got shut down.
Oh, you're
CCP.
Right. The first one we did got shut down. Right,
because Vladimir Putin was in town.
Yeah,
well, long
true story. Vladdy Dotty
has long been my
meddling
nemesis.
In your life too. Yeah,
long been my nemesis.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so we got shut down. Here's the order of events. If you don't remember, we're in Suzhou. It was the last gig at that bar that had the band next door that refused to not play until the show was over.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a great like layout of a space.
Yeah.
But it had just been bought out by this lady that used to be a prostitute.
A prostitute.
Or ran a prostitute house.
She wanted to turn a comedy bar/comedy club into a prostitute house.
Sure. Which is not a far leap. I'm not going to lie to you.
And I'm not gonna, yeah.
And they were all hanging out, so they're like, there were these old madams, you know, like 40, 50-year-old like madam ladies just kind of like circling all the audience people. It was really weird.
Well, because you were there, and they had just bought it,
yeah.
And the guy who sold it to them was like, hey, so I'm selling it to these ladies. He was like a British guy, and he was all into comedy. He knew the whole concept. He was just these Chinese retired prostitutes he was selling the club to, and he's like, I told them what comedy was. They said, sure, they'll, you guys
retired prostitutes?
Yeah, and so they were like, yeah, you can keep it going, and so we just did. And so we did like one or two with them until we realized like they didn't, no one knew what we were, there was, it did not match up. Right.
Well, I was,
and so you got
the
in
show
there.
That I did there was the first one after they had sold it. I feel like it was the last one, but I don't.
It probably was the last one,
but I know. And you guys were already looking for a new place at that point. Then we went to dinner down the street at some restaurant. I go upstairs. There's a comic. I don't remember her name. She's Chinese. Had done it like once or twice, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sitting with her. And this other guy, who I forget who the other guy was, he was very drunk though, and you guys, and then like Andy took a phone call, and then you took a phone call, and then you guys were just gone. And we'd ordered like food for six people.
Right, that's how they get out of pain.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys had just gotten the phone call that the venue had been shut.
The venue
down.
For the next night in Shanghai.
Right.
Had
and
got
you
shut
didn't
down.
Know what was going on, and basically you're trying to get a hold of other people to find out what the scenario is.
Yeah.
So we go. The next morning, we learned that they had shut it down because of Vladimir Putin was in town, right? And again, all we knew was that they were shutting it down. We thought, well, it's just an expat thing where people are hanging out, and that's you're just shutting down things, right? People are congregating because it's in the same neighborhood, because it was near the neighborhood of the you know that founding site of the CCP is over there, right? So. we did it in the Mexican restaurant that night, the first night.
How's the Mexican food?
Not that good.
Yeah. And it's like a Mexican restaurant. It's inside of a former French school or something. It's like a compound, right?
Yeah. By the way, I'm not sure how much of this we can keep, but you keep going.
Oh.
Well, he's saying they, you mean Putin.
Yeah, Putin is the one who said this, right?
Yeah, so it's all Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, edit what you need.
We need to get Putin. We need to get Putin on the pod to get his side of the story.
Clear this up.
Yeah. So, like, I asked, like, how real is that? And it's like, well, I mean, you know, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I go in the room, and I'm watching everybody else go up, and no one's really touching on anything. And I'm like, all right, fine. And then I met Storm there. It's the first time I met Storm. And so he
friend
and I are talking. And Storm's like, it's no big deal. Whatever, man. You know, it's not a big deal.
Storm's an idiot.
Right, so Storm goes up, does his
shout out.
Whatever. I talked to him like a year or so later about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like you like not being worried about it, like really helped me just let it go and just do, you know, and focus. And he's like, I was fucking terrified. What are you talking about?
It was
I'm like, what?
It was a big
and
deal.
And he was not worried. He was like completely freaked out.
He just didn't speak English very well.
Yeah, he just didn't know the right word.
That's what
you're
saying. Right. So, so then you came, you did our tour.
And then we did the batting cage the next night.
And we played these, we performed these batting cages. After that, you came back a couple more times. And then you went around the world. And you did a one-year tour around the world, not coming back to America in the middle of that time, which I've never heard of anyone doing before.
Yeah, so the project, World in Jest was the name of the project I was doing, right?
Yeah.
Filmed it, like documented the process of it, all of that. And like that's kind of where I am now, like working on all
the post, you know, project stuff.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like bled into the things that it's led to as well. So like going to Pakistan last week, you know?
Yeah.
So
to do comedy,
I'm still kind of documenting some things. We'll see how that it all shapes out as far as what it turns into. But the idea of doing the project was really came out of like whether or not I could do it. Like I wanted to do that, and I just didn't know like could it be done. Like I felt like
could it be done to go around the world for a year and do comedy?
Not just that, like
without stopping.
It's, I mean, yeah. Like if you're you know Guns N' Roses, yeah, you can book a world tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like everyone understands that. Like if the money's there, then sure.
Sure.
My question was, you know, does the community of interest, when people have a common interest, that the community that forms of not, I don't want to say like-mindedness, but just mutual interest of something.
Yeah.
Has a borderless nature, and it has an aculturalist nature. Like it ignores those things that we normally see as divisions, right? So we'd put people in this box of being American, or in this box of being Catholic, or in this box of being conservative, or this box of being, you know, whatever, yeah. Right? But whenever we have a common interest, whether it's playing the piano or boat building is one of the go-to ones I give, right? Like we forget all those things and we focus on the interest. So like if the best boat builder on the planet is, you know, a conservative Muslim from Afghanistan, right?
Shout
and then
out.
Some redneck dude in... But and if some redneck dude in Mississippi loves boat building,
right.
He's going to appreciate that guy's work, and that right. When you bring that guy up to him, that's the thing he's going to focus on,
and he'll know that guy. Be like, oh yeah, that guy.
Or he will enter in the fact that he's from this part of the world.
Yeah,
he's this religious belief. He's whatever, right.
So but, then, basically, what you mean is like, because I remember how you did this in practice is you would go. Like I remember we were talking during the course of your year, and you were going all over, which you went to. Asia, you went to Africa, you went to Eastern Europe, and I remember you
in Western Europe as well.
In Western Europe, and you would be in like Shanghai, and you would be like, "Hey, I'm," you'd say like, "I'm going to Africa or somewhere," and then somebody in the audience would be like, "Oh, my cousin owns a bar in this town. Maybe you can link up with him." And like, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't.
There was some of that, and a lot of that fell through. Some of that worked, but a lot of that led to other things. So what happened is. Say I'm going to go, I would look for basic like anchor date touring principles, right? And it's what music industry has done for years, where you look for a date that gets you to a region or gets you to a place, and then you surround it with other dates, right?
Yeah.
And you need to get from A to B. But I would have to establish what is A, what is B, what is C, right? And then there would be massive geographical shifts sometimes. So I'd be in Europe and go back to Asia and then back to Africa and back up to Europe.
And how tailored is your act per, like, each region? Like, do you have to...
Well, the goal was to get an hour out of it that... to me, it's not about tailoring it to the region. It's right. About your... The act that you're doing working universally.
Right.
You had been touring here in the United States and Canada for a while. How long?
I've been doing stand-up for, like, 20 years.
Wow. 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at what point were you – what do you find is it different from, like – because if you're in South Africa versus in Alabama or something, for example.
They're
right?
Basically the same place.
Really?
No.
Well, no.
Like, historically, there's a lot
– Birmingham.
No, no, no. But you could say that comedically, I would believe it. Or
you have – from a comedic end of it, you have like scenes that people say are quote unquote developing. I mean, the South African comedy scene's been going on for a long time. Like Joe Parker, that owns the clubs outside of Johannesburg, started in like 72 or some shit. I don't know, like early 70s.
Okay.
He's been doing it forever. But that is like through the apartheid years. So then you have post-apartheid stand-up. Like post-apartheid stand-up, you have the first time where anyone of any background can stand on a stage and talk into a microphone, like legitimately, like the first time in forever.
Oh, that is legal.
That it's legal to be done.
Yeah, I guess right? Yeah.
So because they explained it to me, like you had a period where there was like a lot of racist stuff.
Right. You could tell racist, like that was part of the culture.
Well, no, you had people that got up and it's like, you know, as a Zulu, I can now say, fuck this white guy.
Right.
Wow. Here comes every way I can
yeah,
think of to say that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
And some good open mic nights,
and that's kind of been done. You know what I mean?
Now that's over.
There.
It's a little hack.
Yeah, it's a little hack. It's kind of been done.
So you're saying when you're there, you're not gonna be super racist because it's been done before.
That's not why I would not be surprised.
Otherwise.
I just want to clear it up.
Otherwise, you let it loot.
Yeah.
And so you're saying the same thing in Alabama? with the racists.
Wow. No. Are you fucking schizophrenic, man?
No,
I'm worried about you. No, not... I was trying to clarify the South Africa.
Okay,
people call it a developing scene, but it's like a redeveloping scene. Like there's another generation of comedy there that's far more diverse, and it's finding its own footing. So what you end up with is, as individual comics are going through the developmental stages, like in a way, so are the audiences that are watching it.
Are you hanging out with audience after these shows when you're doing this kind of stuff?
Sometimes. I mean, I'm not wild party guy anymore.
But yeah. You know a guy in like every city though now at this point?
Yeah, I know. Like, so I was going to say, your network must be crazy now, right?
No, I have friends like in a lot of places. Yeah, I do.
Network of friends. Yeah. Is that a better way to put it?
Guys who hang out in comedy clubs or people who...
I know some straight lunatics. Yeah. But like, and some cool people, but I know, you know.
And it must build. Like,
What happened in... Because I heard a story. Where were you in Africa when you're hanging out with former child soldier guy?
That was in Cape Town. That was just the driver dude. That was like, I was trying to like make small talk with a driver. My fault. He didn't want to talk to me, man.
Right.
Like he wanted to just drive the car and be left alone. And I was in one of my rare moments of trying to be, you know, friendly and chit chatty small talk guy.
Yeah.
And it came out that he was from the Congo, and we're just bullshitting, and I'm trying to ask him what it was like growing up there, like an idiot. You know? Like, I just erased all memory in my mind of what the Congo means.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I'm sure it's...
And why you wouldn't live there now, you know?
Yeah.
At 38, or how old he was.
Yeah.
Then he just, like, dropped it on me hard. He's like, I was a child soldier. That's what it was like growing up there.
Well.
I did terrible thing. He's just going off, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Maybe he made it all up.
Were any of the
shows...
But
now we're like BFFs, so it's good.
Oh, yeah. Now you guys are good. Yeah. He's in your network.
Is he a fan? What's our IP address?
He's a fan of the pod? We got all these Congo listeners now? Congo.
Oh, yeah. He'll get it out
so
there, man. Yeah.
And so what was... Because you've told me stories in the past about dangerous shows in the United States. Like shows where after... Are you almost getting fight? Is anything dangerous when you're traveling abroad?
Is anything dangerous?
On stage, shows. Are there audience members being like, hey, you're going to fight
you? A basketball game in China? Is that
no. Yeah, exactly.
The majority of the stuff that I did and have done, I should say, like internationally, because of the people that are putting the shows together, you're kind of already dealing with a forward-leaning group of people.
Yeah.
Right? So there's less of that. I mean, I've had some where I'm like, oh, this could go, you know, this heckle could go to a, you know, something else, but it hasn't. You know, not in reality. In the States, I think because you kind of deal with all kinds. You're not necessarily. It's more. I would imagine any place where stand up is a thing to go see, and it has been that way for 30, 40 years, that you're dealing with more of a general population. So anybody would show up to it. It's not a new thing to go see. It's not a
yes,
right, an out of the mainstream thing.
You're saying there's some areas where they don't really know what stand up comedy is, and they're.
I mean, there's places only been happening as a thing there for 2 years.
And also, like, the shows,
you don't grow up thinking.
When shows are expensive, you're getting, I don't know, and at least I know in Shanghai, you see, like, the people who come out to the shows, some people sometimes they're, like, dressed up like they're going to prom or something. Like, they look really nice, and they are high school kids, too. No, but they're dressed up,
prom.
Like, they're dressed up really nice, whereas, are you saying that sometimes in the U.S., it's just whoever shows up at a...
It's Becky's bachelorette party or some stupid shit, right?
And so then there might be more tendency towards
violence. Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's Thursday chuckle night, so that's what we're going to do, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'll be blunt, fucking idiots come out. And you have idiots, and they're drunk, and you say something that doesn't completely reaffirm every, you know, shitty preconceived notion that they have, and that, you know... challenges their worldview, which challenges their identity of self, and then their reaction is fucking they want to fight you.
Yes.
Like that happens.
Yeah.
I'm saying that is not something I have encountered as much internationally in a lot of the places that we're talking about, mainly because those people that equally exist there, they're not coming out to the show because doing new things is not what that worldview is about.
Sure.
Whether that's in Mississippi or that's in Bosnia or that's in New York or that's in Shanghai, the people who are completely locked into a conservative with a lowercase c, fundamental, you know, protectionist attitude of the way things have always been and should be, that attitude, they're not seeking out anything new going on.
So would you say that performing in some of these places in the U.S. could be more dangerous than what you just did in Pakistan?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
I mean, as far as like a personal safety, absolutely.
That's so amazing because I think people in America would think, oh my God, you're going to Pakistan.
You have a 110%, I guarantee you, a 110% better chance of being punched in the mouth while on stage in Atlanta, Georgia, than you do in Karachi, Pakistan.
Nice.
110% yeah, so no, they probably chance. It's poor part of American culture more in West is to be your the audience member feels more like entitled to be part of the show more probably.
No, that's a good question. Do you think that people in all these places also want to be involved in the show? Like they're heckling, like, hey, you didn't, you know what I mean?
They're not necessarily. That's an individual thing. No. I feel like
depending upon wherever you are, whatever the show is.
I think it's an individual entitlement thing that people do that.
And but you were also saying on the because you were telling me a little about Pakistan and the was it the consulate general of the United States?
Yeah.
Came to the show.
Yeah, she came to the
last week.
One of the shows. Yeah, I don't remember which one now.
And she had security. You're saying?
Oh yeah, like earpiece dudes. Oh. I don't know, Secret Service, whatever they were.
Try to make those guys laugh.
It was great. You guys come in the back door to the theater, and like the door would crack half an inch, and there's just now a face there because the dude is just on it. Like any motion to that back door, and he would like lock eyes with me for a second, and I think he was kind of checking what was behind me too, you know, like making sure it's just me.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, kind of nod,
the security
guy, smile, and, yeah, super nice. I mean, we never spoke, but he was always like, you know.
And you, so there was a, you were saying,
I did say on stage that I got him high and he passed out.
How'd that go? And,
I mean, the audience laughed at it, but like, security guy quit nodding at me when I walked by, so I don't know.
But going around these towns, because when you were just in Pakistan, you were with, well, I guess, is it everywhere you go? Is someone bringing you out, and then you get a, because you were describing to me, I mean, you can say it on the podcast, but you almost had like a convoy when you were in Pakistan last week, right?
No, we had a gunman, so like security,
amazing?
So like
a gunman.
Sometimes we'd be in more than one car, but that was only.
Does
because
he specialize in comedy club security or comics?
No,
he's a special breed of security guy we need.
No, like, everyone there has one. It's kind of the thing.
Everyone has a gunman, Kevin.
Yeah, it's kind of the
so job out of people need a job.
I think it was Dwayne kept saying like everybody's got their guy with a gun. You know, he was like all excited.
Good to have a guy.
Yeah,
but the. It wasn't like a convoy scenario. Like I've been in convoys before. We did that in Kuwait, and that's a thing I highly recommend to anyone. If you've never been the middle car in a convoy, you should fucking do it sometime. It's pretty
badass. The
middle
car, the safest car?
Dude, it's pretty badass when you're doing like 90 miles an hour on a Kuwaiti interstate, and you've got an SUV like 8 inches from your back bumper, but like, you know, midway, what do you call that? Like they're staggered, so
yeah.
he's like splitting two lanes,
yeah,
and the other car's doing that in front of you, and like they won't let anyone in between.
Yeah,
and they're just literally just pushing people off the road, like as they come flying up on them. They don't move, so you have to move out of the way.
Yeah,
and if somebody tries to pass you, they whip over and block them. All these lights come on and shit.
Oh my gosh,
I've done that. That's a convoy. That's amazing. This is just a dude gets in the car with you, or gets in the back bed of the truck, and he's got a gun.
Just a dude with a gun.
Yeah. In our case, they had like riot shotguns, but some of the people, like their security guys, had you know AK-47s, but like the cutoff. Barrels like it's like the stub barrel and then like the more of a pistol grip stock to the AK-47. Some people had you can tell I'm from Alabama because I can know all the
I was gonna say yeah.
Some people had like AR-15s. There were like some what looked like M16s, like older M16 style to me.
And so like every guy who's like a rich guy or maybe even middle class guy walking through the street just has his own gunman with him at all times. Or no?
Yeah, well, you're not walking through the street. First off,
no one's walking through the street.
Nah, not a lot of walking around going on.
Okay,
no, but like you know, you go from one place to the next, and they have their security guy with a gun. But like, I mean, I rode around without one as well. I went with
different Uber gun and Uber.
Uber
they
gun.
They do have Uber there, and I was trying to joke about
Uber
that.
Uber gun.
Uber G.
Like it's Uber. It's like Uber. Uber pool. Uber black.
Uber,
Uber gunman.
I'm not
Uber,
getting Uber MC.
I'm sorry. 16.
No, yeah. Like I'll pay more for a guy with an AR-15 than I will for a guy with a shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like the guy with the AR-15 like knows how to aim. The shotgun guy's just being lazy. He's just like general direction blast. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
And so,
but my point was we rode around without a guy with a gun as well. So,
but you were in a tinted van or no?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, mildly tinted, you know, SUV. I was in the front, so it wasn't tinted at all where I was. But
And where is the Taliban in all this in Pakistan?
They are not big fans of comedy. Yeah.
They're also in Pakistan, right?
Yeah.
Better audience. I don't know. Putin or the Taliban. No.
I mean, I guess they're active in Karachi. I don't know, though.
Anyway, they're far away. They're nowhere near where you're performing, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Oh, but they're cave.
They have.
You didn't do any cave shows.
Jesus, no. I'm in a fucking major city of 20 million people.
That's what I'm saying. Karachi. That's okay.
He wasn't summoned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in like the tribal areas. And like,
if they pay, how much would they have to pay you to do a private show?
What, for the Taliban?
Yeah,
like in up in the tribal area, dude. It'd have to be a lot because I'm assuming it would be the last show I did.
It would be it.
It'd be a good finale.
I'm pretty sure that would be And now for your final act, my beheading, everybody,
the big closer.
Round of applause for the guy with a knife. it would not go well.
And then you're going to these like after parties. Can you tell me about the after parties?
We went
because the difference between after parties there. First, tell us about there, and then tell us what an after party at like an Alabama show might be, or anywhere in America.
I mean, it would probably just be a bar.
You just hang out at a bar.
It would be a bar, a nightclub, after party.
And then what are you doing in Pakistan?
We went. It was a guy's 40th birthday. And we went to his house. Right, which was a compound. I should clarify that. It wasn't much of a house. It was a compound. It was multiple buildings inside of a giant concrete wall with concertine wire.
Was this Bin Laden's compound? Or
No. Much nicer. I saw the photos of Bin Laden's compound. It was a real dump. This guy's
shitting on Bin Laden.
Yeah, this dude. Oh, shout out. Yeah, completely shitting on Bin Laden.
He's like, he thinks he's rich.
Yeah. Yes, we take the cars over. We pull up, and there's a bunch of cars waiting out. A bunch of drivers are standing around. A bunch of other people's security guys are out front. It's funny because like all the security guys are hanging out. They probably know each other. I don't know how it works, right?
Yeah,
it's the union.
But like while there's a party, they probably see each other at every party. I imagine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you just have like guys with guns just they're chatting. There were a lot of guns outside of this place.
And what kind of guns?
I mean, like I said, assault rifles and shotguns and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just holding them because that's their job is to be dude with a gun. So they're just kicking it like on the wall, chit-chatting as we get out of the car. And there's like a table with, normal party with security. There's a table with a list and whatever.
Yeah.
And we get up and they're like, you go in. We had to walk by these dudes with guns and stuff. And we go in and there's like one guy, once you walk in the door, just standing there like holding a pistol. Right? Just like pointing it straight down. I wasn't sure. I didn't really stare. Looked like finger on the trigger holding the pistol.
Right.
Like, he's the last line. If someone goes, wait, not that guy, then like he shoots you, I guess.
Right.
And then we turn.
He's the quick trigger.
To the left, and there's a lady with there's another table, and a lady is full of sunglasses because it's an 80s theme party. Wear your sunglasses at night. Please take a pair of sunglasses.
Wait,
put
is
them
it
on.
Is it Pakistan 80s or American 80s?
Yeah, what 80s is the
80s music, man.
Okay.
It doesn't get
what's
geographically
the dress code
locked
for
in.
This,
people were mostly
suits and stuff. There?
Yeah, there were some suits, but mostly like dressy, but casual dressy. Like I was wearing this hoodie.
Yeah,
I was probably.
Do they drink?
I was clearly the
like,
most.
Is there alcohol?
Under,
or?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Privately, there is.
Right.
Publicly, it's illegal.
Right. That's
really?
It's an the Islamic Republic of Pakistan.
And so then, how do they get it private? It's like, but it's not like bootleg, like prohibition era. It's like known that, if you're in your own house, you can drink.
I don't know.
Or is it highly illegal? Is that why they have the guns?
I don't know, but no one's coming in.
No one's messing with those guys.
It's so amazing. So on the outside, it's the most like threatening party you could go to. And then you come in, it's like, hey, 80s.
Dude, I mean, the dude was so happy. He was like pumped and running around dancing. I told somebody here, he looked like he invented cocaine. Right. I don't even know if he was on drugs.
Right, probably. It's 80s thing.
But he was just pumped.
Were there women at this party? Or is it just like a bunch of like guys? Like,
just people. It's a party.
Okay.
So it looked like it belonged. It looked like a party in Miami Beach. Is what it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah.
It looked like a penthouse condo party in Miami Beach. Is what it reminded
me.
The
ones Turner used to go to.
Everybody's wearing white. Meanwhile, the other night I went to the Grizzly Pear after my show and got shit canned with three other comedians.
Where's the Grizzly Pear?
Yeah, like there's a pool. Some dirtbag bar. There's a pool. Everyone's out dancing by the pool. You got waiters coming by wearing little shitty fedoras and trays of different food and stuff and bringing drinks. And
one thing I've noticed,
it reminded me of like some of the back in the day, like some of the Miami like rooftop type parties I had been to.
So if you missed those in the 80s, you can go to Pakistan now.
Absolutely.
And hit it up.
Yeah.
And so in the future, are you planning on, I think I probably know the answer, but are you planning on just doing comedy now in the U.S. and Canada, doing comedy abroad, mixing? What's your...
He doesn't want to get an apartment in America.
I know. Well, yeah.
My...
deal with landlords.
In the very... I said, shit, man. I mean, 15 years ago, I said that, you know, perfect world, my tour date calendar for whatever, you know, show I'm running at the time would be, you know, 10 cities in the U.S., right, that I want to do, and then... everything else international. And like, that's what I wanted my life to be.
That sounds perfect.
And that's kind of what I'm working towards at this point, you know?
But what I think is really cool
I'm just doing it in a different way. I'm not doing it in the way that people probably imagine that happens.
But that way that people imagine doesn't exist. If you sit around, like what I like what you did is when I'm here now in the United States, so many comedians are like, I'd love to go abroad. I'd love to go abroad. But they're not willing to do what you did, which is like, fuck it, I'm going. And you just went, and you had all these contacts, but like you said, you had them out for a month and a half in advance. You had them specifically planned. You didn't plan out. You didn't wait till you had one entire year planned, and then
you can't
go.
Do that.
But they're all. I think a lot of people are waiting for that. You know what I mean?
Well, like, because they're waiting on an illogical thing.
Exactly. That's what I think is cool about what you did.
You're not going to get right, but if you're not going to do the work to go to the next level or whatever you're going to do, then who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Because you plateau it wherever you stop working. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it's awesome. Well, should we do?
I have one last question here.
Let's do it.
Because you said Shanghai and you said Shanghai, and now I'm really confused. How do I pronounce it?
Chinese people, it's Shanghai, but okay. Everyone in America says Shanghai. So I'm just kind of saying, it's
you're
also
appealing to our audience. Okay.
Well, no, it's also like
to do that.
It's also right. Like Firenze, right? But
I don't
just
know what
say Florence.
Anything, so I need to follow examples.
Who gives a crap? That's what I say.
All right, that's the motto of the pod.
That's the motto of the pod. So before we get to the news, and if you have time, you can stick around for that. Do you have anything you want to plug? Any dates coming up or anything like that? No,
nothing. When does this come out? It depends on when it comes out.
This comes out next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I know I'll be in Berlin coming up in March. I know that I will be in Barcelona coming up in March, and I know that I have Bratislava, Slovakia, Vienna, Graz, Austria, and Utrecht, Netherlands coming up.
Hear that?
And I'm going to say this.
A lot of places I can't pronounce.
90% that it'll be up. The new website for the continuation of the project will hopefully be up, and that'll be hellowatchlist.com.
Hello, watchlist. Coming to a watchlist near you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have a Twitter we can follow? Or?
At Matt Davis.
Yeah. At Matt Davis.
At right. Matt Davis. Hell yeah. All right. Let's get to the news. Welcome back to the podcast.
Back.
Yeah. In that last 7 seconds where we played the music, a lot's happened.
A long 7 seconds. It's like we froze time.
We had technical problems with our end. Then Matt had to head back to Connecticut where he is now. And now
he just escaped out of here. And
now it's much later.
But it's a more exciting time in the world because we've picked up some Twitter followers in those 7 seconds.
Yeah, we are. Everything's
going
big.
The Lost in America pod.
Yeah. Before we get to the news, well, the first part of the news, I want to start. I have some personal news.
Personal news?
The Kung Fu Comedy Show, the monthly, very popular show.
Yeah, he was pregnant or something.
Not pregnant. She's still in China. I don't know how. What am I flying it over there? By the way, people have asked about.
Do you trust the Chinese government? Like, what are the rules if she gets pregnant? Does that count?
By who? I'm in America. She's in China.
Well, you were there, but yeah. Oh wait, that's a problem.
But I should update that. People have been asking me like, what's going on with your wife? So I'll just say it here. My wife is still in China. We're still in the middle of the green card process. We applied in August,
right?
And we're still waiting. It looks like it's going to be 3 to 6 more months. So if you're listening out there, if my voice reaches your ears and you're in the government and you can pull a string or two, pull the damn string.
Every time you see an ICE agent out there, think.
Yes.
Go up to them and talk to them. Slip them some money.
Do you know Yeah Yeah?
And say.
First name, same as the last. Like, can you?
Yes. Can we replace? If you're going to kick someone out of the country, let's replace.
Sure.
Break up one family. let's
yeah, we're getting
together.
Rid of all these people. How about you scoot a few in?
Yes, yes. You know? Let's make it happen.
She's a great person. She's she deserves.
You're not going to say you love her. You're not Weber here, but, you know.
She's a good person. We'll go that far.
You go as far as say you're a good person to your wife. She deserves it.
So, of course, I love my wife.
Anyway.
And, oh, but okay.
But you have news, though. There's
next,
actual personal
next news. Is the Kung Fu Comedy Show, which is a very popular show I run with Joe Schaefer, Gus Tate, right?
Yes.
We are going to be starting on March 22nd. We'll be doing that at the New York Comedy Club.
Whoa.
Very big club.
Big announcement.
Very big club in New York City. And we love the Lantern. We still perform there all the time. They
oh,
had
so
some
I can't
issues.
Bash them.
No, we'll not bash them. They had some issues with their room downstairs. So we're moving over there. Very exciting. So we'll be there once a month. Come out
starting
March 22nd.
March 22nd.
Tickets are on sale now. Go to kungfucomedynyc.com.
I would say I'll be there March 22nd, but I know I'll show up at the Lantern instead.
Don't go to the Lantern.
If there's a good act there, I'm just going to go there.
Oh, come on.
I'll try. I'm going to forget. I don't have a calendar.
Usama Siddiqui or something over there?
Yeah, good. I saw him the other night. Good guy.
He's a good guy. All right, so next piece of news.
Next piece.
LostInAmericaPod.com. We got a website now, Captain.
We have it.
We have a website.
You guys are a bunch of suckers out there. Someone should have bought it when we started this podcast and sold it to us.
Exactly.
Someone should have, but you didn't think of that, did
we got
you?
It for like $15 or something. Yeah. So that's that. And next thing on that, we have all of our episodes are on there. You can stream them. You can play them right in the website.
Play, there's a play all feature. So if you want to just like spend one day, like
just play
binging,
the whole damn thing.
Forget Netflix binging.
Celebrate the whole catalog.
Yeah. Get a fat joint, sit back, relax, and just celebrate the whole beautiful catalog.
Depending on what
see how we've moved, how the art has,
yeah. We progress.
Yeah, the progress. I can't. My brain's not working.
And it's, you can also, you can. We have pictures of every one of our guests on there. You can click on the picture. You can go straight to the episode. And the last thing you can do on there, now we have a link, an Amazon link.
Oh.
If you go
we to. We struck a deal.
We struck a deal with Amazon.
Jeff Bezos.
If you go to our website, lostamericapod.com, click on the Amazon link, and then that'll take you straight to Amazon. Do all your shopping then. So if you're going to buy something on Amazon.
If you're going to run a mom and pop store out of business, do it through our link.
Do it with us.
Yes, because we get a little kickback.
The more you get, the more you shop with us, the better chance my wife has of getting into this country.
Oh, all right. That's a good. And the better chance that Teddy Kaplan has of maybe going to private school.
Yes. And so wait, let me be clear one more time how you do this. So if you're going to shop on Amazon, all you do before you go to Amazon, go to lostamericapod.com, click the link. It'll take you back to Amazon.
Right.
Then do your shopping like regular. And then whatever a percentage of what you buy gets kicked back to us to help us keep the lights on, help us support the podcast.
And a percentage goes to charity.
Whoa. Is that charity named Turner Sparks?
Yeah, and I'm just saying that. It makes people feel better about it. It goes to a charity that we'll figure out which one plays best to the crowd people respond to. I don't know which charity it is yet.
All right. Some charity. Once we pay all our bills.
Yes.
I got to wet my beak.
The pay all your bills charity. Let's get to the news.
Let's get
to
the
news.
Yeah, we've already in the news.
We're in the news.
All right. In the news, kid asked police for help with homework. Gets wrong answer.
What? How old is the kid?
10-year-old Lena Draper was struggling with her math homework. When she was struggling, the Ohio fifth grader turned to an unusual source, her local police department. Draper sent this message, and I quote, she sent a message. I guess she texted. You can text police. I didn't know that was possible.
Only white people can do that. There's no... Just text your local police officer.
So she sends a message. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with my homework. Could you please help me? She quickly got a response from Lieutenant BJ Gruber, who runs the department's Facebook page. Oh, she Facebook messaged him.
Oh, my God.
He said, okay, what's the problem? She told him the problem. She said it was confusing. She said, okay, it was 90 plus 27 in parentheses plus... 29 plus 15 in parentheses times 2. She said, which one do I do first?
Right.
He said, add up the parentheses, add up the other one in parentheses, and times them by 2.
Right. That's wrong.
That's wrong because you're supposed to do the times 2.
In multiplication before addition.
Yes. Exactly. Multiplication before addition. So his heart was in the right place, but the order in which to do the equation was not.
I mean, I don't mean to besmirch the police department, but I wouldn't. It's like not my number one source for math questions. Like, I don't think that's like a. I don't know.
I wouldn't
see your doctor. I don't know, your accountant.
I would go accountant first.
Accountant first.
I would go anyone in my wife's family.
Yes. Yeah, your local mathematician.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would talk to BJ Gruber.
Does she have parents? I don't understand.
I don't know. This is Gruber's answer. So she got the wrong answer, obviously. He told the station, because the TV station went to interview him, he told them that he hopes people will give the girl an A for effort. I got something for you, Gruber. That's not the way the world works.
No, you're A for effort. That's not effort. Effort would be try to figure out how to do it.
Like, that's how you...
She's trying to cheat.
That's how you end up manning the Facebook page of a local police station.
Whoa.
Asking for effort. No, no, I'm not an anti-cops. I'm anti-cops who are on Facebook.
I'm anti-cops who help kids cheat in homework.
I love the police. And well, I think that if they can help my wife get into this country,
you're the law and order of the.
I am the law and order
urban
of the
libertarians here.
All right, next story.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ultimate lost. Well, I'm lost in America. I was there for 12 in China for 12 years.
Right.
This man flipping the script on me. Chinese man trapped in India for 54 years.
Wow.
Expected to finally return to China on Friday.
How was he trapped?
All right, let's read. What happened? This guy went to India during the Sino-Indian War.
Right.
In 1963.
Right. Good war.
Or right after the war.
Underrated war.
Underrated war. You don't hear much
Everyone
about that.
Everyone hears about Vietnam. What about this one?
These days, no one's talking about, right? And so then... he went there as a Chinese army surveyor. He got lost. He crossed over the border. He was captured by Indians.
Right.
Indian authorities. And then he spent the next 7 years moving between a number of jails. Eventually, they finally let him out of jail.
Right.
But they never gave him any type of visa
they
or
didn't give
identification.
Him like, it's like when you walk out of the jail with like $10. They like didn't give him a compass or like a map.
Yeah. So he walked to a remote village in central India. He walked like to the nearest village and he just was like, well, screw it. And he started a life there. Now he has an Indian wife and kids.
I'm impressed. He just was able to come out of prison in a foreign country.
Yeah.
A different language and everything, and just pick up a wife.
He said he's excited to go back, and the number one thing he's looking forward to? Noodles.
They don't have noodles in India.
I guess they don't have noodles. Maybe they don't have Chinese noodles, but it's always the food. I will say this. When I came, the number one thing I was looking forward to coming back to America was barbecue. And then second was like seeing my family.
Right.
But barbecue, American barbecue.
So if you were trapped in another country, that's what you'd be yearning for.
Texas barbecue.
Texas barbecue.
And Mexican food, maybe.
Western Carolina barbecue. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, that's an interesting, I can't imagine being trapped in India.
If you had to be trapped somewhere.
It definitely would be India. Where would I pick?
If you could pick anywhere to be trapped in, no Canada, it's too similar.
Why would I want to be trapped in Canada?
I don't know. A lot of people are like, Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, screw them. If I had to be trapped, so I'm like by myself.
Non-English speaking.
But I'm by myself and like don't have any shit with me. Like this guy, he just says like...
You walk down the street, you find a village, you live in it.
Ooh.
54 years.
Thailand?
Thailand would be pretty good.
Yeah, Thailand would be good. Maybe Australia? Or
Non-English speaking.
Oh, non-English speaking. They speak English in Australia?
You know
Brazil?
What I
go? I think it's like it's basically only doing this like bachelor party answers. I think Thailand would be good. Overall.
Thailand would be
and
not
it's like,
bad.
Cause it'd be, I feel like I'm in the beach then.
You probably would be in the beach.
Yeah, yeah. I could find like a tribe, a Leonardo DiCaprio style character to be our leader. And
yeah, you go on an island somewhere.
Yeah, it'd be like.
All right, I'd take that.
All right,
next. This is exciting.
Yes.
Jimmer Fredette, we talked about him a few weeks ago. I went to see him
Favorite athlete of the pod.
Favorite athlete of the pod. We're going to try to get him on. Plays for the Shanghai Sharks in China. American guy, went to Shanghai. Remember a few episodes back, I saw him play in Shanghai.
Right.
He could never make it in the NBA for years. This year, signs with the Shanghai Sharks, puts up 73 points in a game a few weeks ago.
Right.
Now, every NBA team wants him, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Wojnarowski.
Whatever.
Woj. Just call him Woj.
From Yahoo Sports. Everybody wants him, Cap.
The vertical, yes.
We're making heroes.
We are.
We are influencing how culture happens. We did it once with Assemblyman Kim.
Yes.
And now we got him to the pedophile laws at the parks. And
we're
now
we have Assemblyman Kim on soon, I think.
We're going to get him on.
Yeah.
And now we're doing it again with Jimmer Fredette. I'm excited.
And that's for real. He's really going to be on. People think we're making stuff up. But
who, Assemblyman Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting him on. And Blue Shirt's coming back.
And Jimmer Fredette, you're saying we're... You've discovered, like, scouts were listening.
Scouts were listening to this podcast. NBA scouts listen because they
the
didn't know.
Scouts who I because I had spread the word about the pie when I was at Madison Square Garden sitting with them and I lost my laptop.
Exactly.
So, you know, it makes sense. The story adds up.
I don't. They didn't even know he was over there. I'll let you know a little secret until they heard it on the pod.
All right.
They're like, "What happened to Jimmer?" Everyone's asking me in the streets. I'm walking.
So what
the
do
streets.
We do? Do we get a?
Where's Jimmer? Where's I'm going to NBA games? Where's Jimmer? Where's Jimmer? I say, listen to the podcast. We'll let you know. I say it. Boom. Next day, everywhere.
And his brother who did that rap song,
TJ. TJ's getting in there.
Yeah.
I've reached out.
We should have him do a song for the pod.
I have a friend who used to work for the Shanghai Sharks. I've reached out to him about getting Jimmer on. He said, talk to TJ. So I'm putting out feelers. Anyone, any Mormons out there, if you guys know TJ, he's a Mormon rapper. If you know Jimmer, hook us up. We're going to get him on. Congratulations to Jimmer for that. That's what I have to say. Athlete of the pod.
Athlete of the pod. Congrats.
Congrats. All right. That is all.
That's
Thank
all.
Thank you all. Next week, we're going to find out more about where Texas John's whereabouts.
Texas John.
We're tracking him.
He's going to call in from a cave somewhere.
They have the Santa tracker at Christmas Eve where you can track Santa around the world. We're tracking Texas John. He might not even be Texas John anymore. He might have changed his name by now.
No, I'm sure he's Arkansas Fred.
We'll find out about
him. Shout out to the Great Eagle wide receiver.
All right, that's all. Kaplan, get lost.
Get lost. Together like rum and coke, one saccharin and the other makes you choke. Intoxicate you just like fire and smoke, and I can't let go. I was drinking rum while you were blowing coke. Two mismatched burnouts feeling unprovoked. Put us together like a chain of smoke, like goodbye. Can't stop what I'm feeling.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.